cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to True Crime Sleep Stories, where the shadows of the past whisper tales of mystery and intrigue to lull you into a restful night. I'm your host, Kelly Brink, and tonight we're stepping back to a foggy autumn evening in 1922 in a quiet corner of New Jersey. Picture a deserted lane lined with crabapple trees where secrets were buried under moonlight. Two souls bound by forbidden love met their end in a crime so shocking it captivated a nation. Who pulled the trigger? Who slashed the throat of a choir singer under the stars? And why did their love letters lie scattered like fallen leaves at the scene? Settle in, close your eyes, and let me guide you into the enigma of the Lover's Lane murders. But first, a little podcast business. If you're enjoying True Crime Sleep Stories, we'd be so grateful if you could take a moment to give us a 5-star rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us reach more listeners who, like you, crave these haunting tales to drift off to sleep. And if you'd like to take your support a step further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/KellyBrink. As a Patreon member, you'll get ad-free episodes, exclusive bonus content, and a front-row seat to the mysteries we unravel. Your support keeps these stories alive, and we can't thank you enough. Now, before we dive into tonight's uninterrupted tale, we'll take a brief pause to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to True Crime Sleep Stories. Now, settle in, get comfy, and let the world fade away. Pull up your blanket, dim the lights, and let my voice carry you to a foggy lane in New Jersey, where a forbidden love met a violent end. Close your eyes, breathe deeply, and let me tell you a story. It was a crisp September evening in 1922, the 14th to be exact, in Franklin Township, just outside New Brunswick, New Jersey. The air carried the first whispers of autumn, cool and heavy with the scent of damp earth and fading summer blooms. DeRussy's Lane, a secluded dirt path flanked by crab apple trees, was the kind of place lovers sought for stolen moments, far from prying eyes. The townsfolk called it a lover's lane, a place where whispers were safe and secrets could hide in the shadows. But tonight, this quiet stretch of earth would become a stage for a tragedy that would echo for decades. Edward Wheeler Hall was a man of God, or so his congregation believed. At 41, he was the respected rector of St. John the Evangelist Episcopal Church in New Brunswick, a handsome figure with a warm voice that filled the pews each Sunday. His wife, Frances Noel Stevens Hall, came from old money, her family's wealth casting a long shadow over their stately home on Nickel Avenue. Frances was 7 years older than Edward, a poised woman whose reserved demeanor hid a steely core. To the outside world, their marriage was proper, unremarkable, a pillar of the community, but beneath the surface, Edward's heart strayed. Eleanor Reinhardt Mills was the spark that lit the fire. At 34, she was a vision in the church choir, her soprano voice soaring through hymns like a bird set free. Married to James Mills, a quiet sexton who tended the church grounds, Eleanor was a mother of two, her life seemingly ordinary, but her eyes held a fire and her laughter drew Edward in like a moth to a flame. Their affair began in stolen glances, then secret meetings, and soon passionate letters that poured out their longing. They met in the church vestry, in quiet corners of town, and on that fateful night in the darkness of De Russey's Lane. No one knows exactly what drew Edward and Eleanor to the lane that Thursday evening. Perhaps they planned to steal a few hours together, to whisper promises under the stars. Maybe they sensed the danger closing in, the weight of their secret growing too heavy to bear. Whatever the reason, they parked Edward's car near the crabapple tree, its branches sagging with fruit, and stepped into the night. The next morning, September 16, 1922, two young women, sisters from a nearby farm, wandered down the lane, their giggles turning to screams as they stumbled upon a horrific scene. There, beneath the crabapple tree, lay Edward and Eleanor, their bodies arranged side by side as if posed in a final embrace. Edward had been shot once in the head, a clean, execution-style wound. A calling card, tucked into his mouth, bore his name as a grim signature. Eleanor's fate was even more brutal. Three bullets, two to her head, one to her chest, and her throat slashed so deeply it nearly severed her head. Her silk stockings and garters, cut from her legs, rested under Edward's head like a macabre pillow. Scattered around them were their love letters, pages of longing torn open for the world to see. The police arrived to a chaotic scene. Locals had trampled the ground, picking up shell casings, 27 in total from a .32-caliber pistol, as souvenirs. Footprints and tire tracks hinted at multiple people, but the evidence was muddled. No money or valuables were taken, ruling out robbery. This was personal, a crime of passion or vengeance. The love letters, explicit and raw, pointed to a scandal that would soon set New Brunswick ablaze. The town buzzed with gossip. Everyone knew of the affair. It was the church's worst-kept secret. Suspicion fell first on Frances Hall, Edward's wealthy wife, who stood to inherit his estate. Her brothers, Henry and Willie Stevens, were also scrutinized. Henry, a sharpshooter with a military past, was cool and composed. Willie, eccentric and childlike, was fiercely loyal to his sister. The Stevens family's prominence made them untouchable at first, but whispers grew louder. Had Frances, humiliated by her husband's betrayal, orchestrated a murder? Had her brothers taken justice into their own hands? Another suspect emerged. Jane Gibson, a farmer known as the Pig Woman for her hog farm near the lane. She claimed to have witnessed the crime, her story wild and dramatic. On that foggy night, she said, she heard shouts and saw a woman resembling Frances, along with two men near the crabapple tree. A gunshot rang out, then a scream.
Henry!
Gibson's tale was compelling but shaky. She was an unreliable witness, her health failing, and her mother even heckled her in court, calling her a liar. James Mills, Eleanor's husband, was questioned too. Meek and unassuming, he admitted knowing of the affair but claimed he'd done nothing. Some whispered of the Ku Klux Klan, active in New Jersey at the time, punishing the lovers for their immorality. Others pointed to random thugs or a spurned lover's revenge. The police fumbled, evidence vanished, and the case grew cold. 4 years later, in 1926, a new lead sparked a trial. A former maid claimed the Stevens brothers had confessed to her, and Gibson's testimony was dusted off. Francis Hall, Henry, and Willie Stevens faced a courtroom packed with reporters, over 200, from every major paper in America. The trial was a circus, dubbed the Trial of the Century. Crowds mobbed Somerville, New Jersey, to catch a glimpse of the drama. Tabloids printed love letters verbatim, their words dripping with scandal. Gibson, carried in on a stretcher, recounted her story, but her credibility crumbled under cross-examination. The defense painted her as a fame seeker, and the prosecution's case relied on hearsay and speculation. After hours of deliberation, the jury acquitted all three defendants. The evidence was too thin, the witnesses too flawed. Francis returned to her mansion, Henry to his travels, and Willie to his odd habits. The case remained unsolved, its questions lingering like fog over DeRuzzi's lane. Decades later, in 1969, a Hungarian immigrant named Julius Bolyag claimed Willie Stevens had confessed to him, but no charges followed. Modern forensics might have cracked the case. DNA from the letters, ballistics from the casings. But in 1922, such tools were dreams. The Hall Mills murders became a legend, inspiring novels, comics, and even whispers in F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby. The Lover's Lane, once a place of secrets, became a ghost story, its crabapple tree a silent witness to a crime no one could solve. As you drift towards sleep, picture that lane one last time. The crabapple tree stands quiet now, its branches bare in the autumn chill. Edward and Eleanor's voices are silent, their love letters lost to time. Who ended their lives that September night? Was it a jealous spouse, a protective brother, or a stranger in the fog? The truth lies buried, perhaps forever, in the shadows of DeRuzzi's lane. The Hall Mills case reminds us how secrets can unravel a community, how love can spark both passion and destruction. It's a puzzle with missing pieces, a story that haunts because it refuses to resolve. As you close your eyes, let the mystery fade. Let the fog lift. You're safe here, wrapped in the comfort of your bed, far from that lonely lane. True Crime Sleep Stories is hosted and created by Kelly Brink, produced with the support of our dedicated team. Subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform to help us keep telling these haunting tales. Visit patreon.com/Kelly Brink for exclusive content and to join our community. Follow us on Instagram at True Crime Sleep Stories or on our YouTube channel, which is called Sleepy Time Creepy Time and has all sorts of creepy bedtime content waiting for you. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you in the shadows next time. Until then, stay safe out there and lock your doors. Good night.